Okay. Good morning. Good morning. Didn't John do a good job? He did a great job. You know, that's kind of short notice there, but he may keep one in his back pocket. I'm not sure, but he done a great job with his lesson today. Make sure you tell him so. I'm sure you already do. Make sure you tell John he done a good job. He and his Hope and Joseph is a blessing to our congregation. We're so lucky and fortunate and blessed to have them. You can't hear me. Can you hear me? Ah, need me to talk louder. You can turn yours up. Oh, okay. Was you turning it up or turning it off? All right. Good to see you. Ecclesiastes. We've made it to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Chapter 12. We're going to pick up in verse 9. I've really enjoyed you giving me the opportunity and allowing me to. You didn't throw any stones or any darts at me during this study. And I appreciate the comments. You know that people's interested when they come up afterwards and they really want to talk about, you know, what did this mean, or even just make a comment to help me out in understanding something that we have discussed. And then even had some ask, well, what are we going to study next? And I like that. I like that attitude. What's our next study? Actually, the next quarter will be done. We got two more Sundays in this quarter. And then it will start anew. And I believe Austin is going to be teaching. And I do not know that subject. Don Williams, I'm sure, will announce that when that comes up. Next week, it kind of going off of this study, just with the idea of fear of the Lord. Study and read Psalms chapter 34. And take a look at the book of Nehemiah and where it talks about the fear of the Lord. We'll talk about that next week. Psalms chapter 34, focusing in on the fear of the Lord, and the book of Nehemiah, talking about specifically picking up on the idea of the fear of the Lord. And that'll be our study the next week. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 9, he says, now this goes into a third person discussion again. Remember we talked about how it started out in the third person? And then he went into the I comments of first person in chapter 1. Now, it transitions back from first person and second person from verse 8. To the third person again. Now that's why some believe that this is written, it was written by somebody else and this is just their comment. We do understand that Solomon is the writer of this letter. Whether or not this is a forward added to the study or an ending to the study, there's different people said at different places on that. We're going that Solomon is speaking now in the third person. It doesn't do any damage to this study either which way, other than we're real clear that Solomon is the author of the ideas. And so he has journaled through this, and we went all the way through looking at different things that he wrote down and that he explored. Then he starts out in verse 9. He says, In addition to everything that we've talked about, in addition to all the wisdom that he, by the worldly things, tried to apply, but in addition to all the things that he tried to explore, he tried to explore that of wealth. In addition to him trying to live life to the fullest and to party, In addition to these things that he had done, he's coming now and he said, in addition, it's different. This is different. And the key word to know what this difference is, if you'll look at verse number 11, and that's the key phrase, is why this is different. This is different than what we've studied, all the rest of it. He's saying before, you know, he used the words I. Now he is saying in addition. And this addition comes from the phrase at the end of verse 11, they are given by one shepherd. In your Bibles, is that S not capital? They are all given by one shepherd. And that's the difference as he goes and he speaks, because it almost sounds redundant, like he's repeating the same thing, but he's not. He's saying all that I'm talking about now comes from that one shepherd. So in addition to being a wise man, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. Someone want to read that? Got a good loud voice? Yeah, all the way through 34, please. Okay, thank you, Don. So going back to verse 9, being a wise man, the wisdom that came directed from God. That's what he's talking about. In addition to what we're listening to now, he added to it is the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gave him. The preacher also taught the people knowledge, knowledge that came from God. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. Look at Psalms chapter 119, verses 98 through 105. Psalms 119. 98 through 105. It says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my way. Back to Ecclesiastes, and talked about, you know, how all the Proverbs, and we have the book of Proverbs that he shared. Verse 10 says, the preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. write words of truth correctly. You know, when you look at when we read the Bible, that there has truth, and in it, as long as you look at them correctly. That's why it says rightly dividing the word of truth. So he's saying the words of truth correctly. Look at John chapter 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. John 18, verse 37. Somebody please read. Says everyone who is of truth, hears my voice. That's what Christ was saying when he was before Pilate. And here in Ecclesiastes, he's saying that I write the words of truth correctly. He has written the words of truth correctly. Do we follow those words of truth? Again, it goes back to, you notice that he says that he sought to find, that he pondered, that he arranged, that he used this knowledge. We must still meditate upon it. We must still look upon it. We must still study it to show thyself approved. Because the truth is there. And that's why I mentioned before that it's really good if we get different translations and read good reputable translations, so that we can pick up on some truths that we might not catch. Kind of like John was saying, some things seem to be hidden. We got to dig a little deeper sometimes to understand really what that scripture is saying. A very good example, an easy example of that is Matthew 7:12. Somebody look at Matthew 7:12 and read. Tell me what version that you have and let's read it, please. Matthew 7, verse 12. And we're going to see a difference. The difference in how it is worded makes all the difference in how that we understand that truth. Matthew 7, verse 12, known by everybody, and it's shortened by how that we say it. But what does Scripture say? So that's the King James Version that he read. Did everybody get that? Read it one more time real loud. Read, look at what you have. Wait a minute. Hold up a second. Everybody that has a different, your version, look at Matthew 7:12 and notice the difference that he reads it, if you have something other than the King James Version. Go now. Thank you. Okay. Now, give me another version.
Got an English Standard. English Standard says, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets."
Now, what's the difference? Read yours again, Mark.
"So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets."
What's the difference? Pardon? Yeah, it says wish, yeah. Okay. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you," versus "want them to do to you." "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would," look at James chapter 5. Look at James chapter 5. And we'll make this point about when you look at different versions, good versions, how that it opens up doors, how that we really should understand the verse. So the difference in one says, treat everybody the way that I want to treat. That's the short of it. But when we look at how the King James, how it was translated, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, puts God into it. The should puts God into it. Whatsoever you would that men should do. What does it say, starting with James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20? What does it read there? Mark, if you would, read that.
My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Okay. That means somebody's in a way is walking this path. He may not want you to confront him. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Let's read verses 15 through 20. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Thank you. So there we see some examples that where if we just say, hey, treat me the way that I want to be treated, and we just take it that short, hey, treat me the way, I may not want you to come stand me, look me in the face as Peter did, or Paul did Peter, withstood him to his face. Of course, this first it says go to him privately, right? You want to go in love, but that's kind of tough to do, right, sometimes, is to make that step. So therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do, I should want you to help me. I may not want you. I may read that and understand it totally different. Hey, get it, kind of like John said this morning, get out of my face. Get out of my face. But that's not what we should do. The should puts God into it that helps us to better understand. So that, for me, that's a preferred version, translation of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It helps me understand it better. It puts the God into it, and it takes just me out of it. It puts God in it and takes just me out of it. And that, going back to Ecclesiastes, that's what Solomon is trying to, when he says, I ponder, I think upon it, I look through, I dig deep into the truth correctly. I come to the correctness of it. Is what he's saying, spend time with that. And that's, he's wrote it correctly. Are we going to understand it correctly? Verse 11 even carries that thought even further. It says, the words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. The words of the wise men are like goads. What's a goad? Well, that's another translation. Got another word? What's a goad?
Something to get your eyes set on.
No, not goad. Goad. I'm sorry, I didn't say it clear enough. Goad. What's a goad?
Push
a prod, right? Today we use the term a cattle prod, right? So if we're talking about a prod, what does that presuppose?
Corrected.
Yes. So it's saying that God's word, not maybe, will it correct you, that we need correcting, that we need prodded, that we need, back in Bible times, a goad was actually a stick that had a very sharp point on it. And that's why that when you go to, where is it, Acts chapter 26, where it's talking about Paul, where he gives that, though he's on the road, and Christ said, why do you kick against the pricks or goads? The idea back in that day was they had a cart, the holiness of the cart. And that oxen that would go, they would tend to kick and bust the cart. So they put these goads in there, so then when they kick back against that, they'd stop because it hurts. It's uncomfortable. So they wouldn't bust the box. And that's what Christ is making the point to Saul/Paul, a person who was religious, and he said, why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you kicking against what you are trying to embrace, God? You're kicking against the pricks. You're not doing that which is right. I'm trying to correct you. You need to be corrected. You need to come back and see. And we know that Saul/Paul does see, does finally understand. And so here at Ecclesiastes, the same idea is being taught, that this word that we read, if we're not being goaded, if we're not being prodded, then we're not looking at the truth. All of us need prodded from time to time. All of us need goaded from time to time. All of us need corrected from time to time. And if we're comfortable and we're not being corrected, then we're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, I know this old boy is not perfect. I know that. I need goaded by God's word. I need that. And that's the idea that he's putting across, that goad and a master. Notice it says, verse 11, the wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are well-driven nails. Well-driven nails. They're there. They're solid. You drive a nail in some oak, it's hard to get it out. It's well-driven. It's masters. Masters of these collections. Anyone consider them a master of this collection? No. No.
Yeah, Dad, Hebrews 4:12 echoes that line of thought you're talking about, the being sharper than two-edged sword. It's almost surgical in its description, because that's what's needed. I've never connected those two.
Sharper than two-edged sword. Yes. God doing the problem. He said, but beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearisome. So listen to God's words. You know, we got a lot of books, and books are not bad, but trying to devote ourselves to books other than God's word, he said, is wearisome, because everybody's got a different opinion. That's why that we each need to rightly divide the word of truth, understand it ourselves. Then verse 13, he said, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Whether it's just talking about this earth, vanity of vanities, obey God. Whether you look at in reflection of eternity, obey God. The whole answer is this: for the people that do not obey God's will. Of course, God is willing that none should perish, but all come to repentance. But those that do not, this world was better because of God. That's the conclusion. Obey him and keep his commandments. But looking at eternity, obey him and keep his commandments. That's the whole conclusion. For it says, God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Everything, every act will be judged. Does God forgive us? Yes. Will we be judged? Yes. He will pass judgment on everything. That's the answer. The answer is to fear God. Do we fear God? And we're going to talk about really what is that fear. Do we fear God? Do we fear God? And keep his commandments. And we keep his commandments. And the only way that we can keep his commandments is that it becomes part of who we are. Because we can think we know. If I usually leave something just to my memory, I'm going to get mixed up. I'm not going to remember it just exactly right. That's why I have to come back and read it and read it and read it. Vanity of vanities if we don't have eternal life to look forward to. This world here, this earth will burn up. It will go away. Eternity. Look at death and look at in that death. I was really amazed at and in awe of all the godly things that Brother Joe Williams done in his life. But those things that, as far as here, the house he owned, the vehicle that he owned, those things will be forgotten. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, which that man did lay up treasures in heaven. There's where your heart will be also. Where you lay up your treasures, where your heart's at. And that's what he's saying. And that is the conclusion of the whole matter. Worked all the way through. I hope you enjoyed the study. Have a good day.